Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here, where it matters.
Hello and happy Friday. This is UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you caught up before the weekend on all the news you should know about. Today, Pennsylvania has joined a multi-state lawsuit against the rideshare app Uber. And in the latest Community Connection, business leaders support education in the Scranton area. It's Friday, December 19th. Let's get you up to date. First today, we've got a story on drones. Aerial photographs, weather observations, and even food delivery are a few of the uses for drones. But what about getting emergency medical equipment to rural areas where it's needed? Ann Danahy reports for WVIA on a public-private partnership aiming to use drones for that purpose in South Central Pennsylvania.
Imagine you're with someone who has just had a heart attack or a severe allergic reaction. You call 911. Before the ambulance even gets there, an aerial drone delivers a package with life-saving medicine and equipment. That's the idea behind Drone 814.
The drone takes off and it goes somewhere and it lowers the package on a winch and drops it on your lawn.
John Eberhardt is the managing director of ATA Aviation.
The idea was, can we use drones and prove that an autonomous drone can get integrated with the 911 system and deliver aid in an automated way that complements and enhances the ambulance service?
Drone 814, the name comes from the region's area code, received about $2 million in federal transportation funding for the first phase of testing. Eberhardt says whether it's a heart attack or a drug overdose, the faster you deliver aid, the more likely someone is to survive.
The longer it goes, the longer you don't administer aid, your survival is dropping by the minute. So yeah, I mean, minutes matter.
That could make it especially helpful in rural areas that take longer to reach. The first phase included 60 test flights in the Johnstown area. The drone beat the ambulance about a third of the time and tied it about a third of the time. Eberhardt says they know what they need to do to shorten that response time in the next phase. Matthew Bjorkman is the transportation program manager at the Southern Alleghenies Planning and Development Commission, a partner in the project that applied for the funding. For stage two, they'll
take what we learned in Johnstown and scale it out to the six counties and identifying areas that it could potentially work the best.
Along with Cambria, the counties in the project are Blair, Huntingdon, Fulton, Bedford, and Somerset. They plan to apply for up to $15 million in federal funding. In State College, I'm Ann Danahy.
Thanks to Ann Danahy for that story. Now, it's a celebratory season right now, so you might be using Uber a bit more to get around. Pennsylvania and New Jersey are actually joining a lawsuit against Uber, accusing the rideshare app of deceptive and unfair practices related to its subscription service. Corey Sharber has more for WVIA.
The lawsuit alleges that Uber used a variety of deceptive and unfair practices in offering and selling Uber One subscription services. It claims Uber promotes the service as a way to save money on rides and deliveries, but then makes it extremely difficult to cancel the service once enrolled. Uber One renews automatically, and the company says customers can cancel any time without additional fees. However, the lawsuit argues customers have been unable to cancel or avoid being charged due to excessively long hold times. Customers have reported waiting hours of up to a full day to receive a response from Uber, and that they were already billed for the next payment.
That was Corey Sharber reporting. Stay with us. There's more up to date after this break.
You trust WVIA News. Now we need your help to sustain it. I'm Julie Sidoni, Director of Journalism here at WVIA. We can't thank you enough for your generous financial contributions to our NewsMatch campaign, which continues through the end of the year. We're looking for 50 new sustaining members by December 31st. That will unlock an additional $1,500 that directly supports the journalism you count on. Visit wvia.org/match. Thank you.
Welcome back. Now it's time for Community Connection with WVIA's Lisa Mazzarella. Let's see where she is this week.
On today's Community Connection, getting a good education is not out of reach. Neither is receiving tax credits while supporting education through the nonprofit Blocks program. CEO Robert Delaney and Bridget Chomko explain how the process works.
Blocks stands for Business Leaders Organized for Catholic Schools. And that's really where we started 40 years ago. A lot of Catholic schools were closing, and leaders from the business community got together and said, hey, this is where some of our best employees come from. And so a church worked with the business leaders to get organized. Today, we really support all values-based education, so all faiths, and also special purpose educations. So it might be a school for the hearing impaired or the deaf, school for the blind, special education, complex needs, Hispanic Scholarship Fund. So we really have broadened our mission from where we started 40 years ago. And this year we will do over $206 million in need-based scholarships, over 33,000 children across the entire state of Pennsylvania.
Bridget, how many schools does that encompass in our region?
That's about 60 schools in our region, and that's inclusive of the diocese and then any of the independent K-12 tuition-based institutions, some of which have not even heard of the program yet. So there's definitely huge opportunity here in Northeast PA to really help students through the EITC program, specifically through those scholarships that will really help.
You know, most of the nonprofit organizations, they're always wondering what is the next thing we can do to try to get their support. How are you able to do this with Blocks?
Our big push really is to raise awareness. There is just a tremendous amount of terrific people that are in our community that are already helping and helping in lots of ways. And this tax credit program is an opportunity to do a donation to a school to provide need-based scholarships. And in doing that, you don't have to be a wealthy person. Anybody can do this. And so this really is just trying to activate the community and the people that are in our community. We will do over $10 million in need-based scholarships in the greater Scranton area alone. That's over 5,000 children. And that's really an important part of this. These are children, pre-K through 12th grade young people. We do the fundraising and we get the money to the schools. So a donor says, hey, I'd like to do a $10,000, a $3,000 donation to this school. And the schools really take over from there. They do all the financial qualifications. So it's really just a family that applies because these are need-based scholarships. And then it's really all up to the school as to how they disseminate the funds. And those children are definitely deserving of a values-based education.
Now, Bridget, you've been in fundraising your entire career. So how does this differ from all of the other fundraising endeavors you've been through?
Being able to fundraise for Blocks and being able to see the impact that it has on those families and being the differentiator of them being able to afford a private education or not makes all the difference. So coming to Blocks, there's definitely a lot to understand with taxes and the donation process. But really, when people find out it's a 90% tax credit, that's great, but you're also helping a student right here in your area, whatever school you'd like to designate it to. To be able to see those need-based scholarships right in our area is really what drove me to make the change to Blocks.
Special thanks to Robert Delaney, CEO of the Blocks program, and to Bridget Chomko, the Blocks representative for Scranton. Hear more of the story on our podcast, wvia.org/community. For Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.
All right, that's all for today. I hope you're feeling up to date and ready for the weekend. Find more stories all weekend long at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for hanging out with me today. As always, we're back on Monday, so make sure you subscribe and listen every weekday so you don't miss anything. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll catch you next week, right here on Up to Date.